Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. I want to hear from you, so give me a call. 646-929-2037 is the call number. Once again, I want to hear from you. 646-929-2037 is one of the many ways you have to get in contact with me. Also, I know some of y'all may be a little too shy to call. I say it from time to time. You can email me. Feel free. dick@smoothdrama.com. And I will read your email about whatever, however, and whoever. I'm just open like that. Once again, email is dick@smoothdrama.com. Also, if you just happen to be listening to me, feel free to jump into the Blog Talk chat room. Or if you're one of those people who are fortunate enough to be looking at my face, that's made for radio on livestream.com/sdrama. Hey, the chat room in there also where you can hit me up and you can talk and paste on it. I'm diligent. I'm chatting here, I'm chatting there, I'm multitasking, I'm trying to get at you, and I want you to get at me. And our social network, our social network everywhere, so I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Tagged, I'm on MySpace, I'm on my yearbook, I don't even know what that is, but I'm on it, High Five, whatever you name it, I'm there. And I'm ready to holler at you if you're ready to holler at me. So if you wanna add me on any one of those networks, I am Dick Hugger. So Facebook, I'm Dick Hugger. Tagged, I'm Dick Hugger. MySpace, I'm Dick Hugger. Feel free to add me. And Twitter, I'm Smooth Drama. You follow me, I follow you, and we can have some social discourse along the way. Among my many social networking tentacles out there, trying to reach out and touch somebody's hand, make this world a better place if we can, or something cheesy and corny like that. And speaking of reaching out and touching people, Rush Limbaugh, also known in my circles as Fat Bastard, he came out and was talking about Michelle Obama. Well, he even talked about it. He called her a hypocrite on his show, saying that while she advocates healthy eating, she doesn't look like she follows her own dietary advice and would never be put on the cover of Sports Illustrated's swimsuit issue. Now, I know. I started off by calling him Fat Bastard, and I know some folks may take offense to that, and it doesn't really matter because he is a fat bastard. The fact that he's upset about her, well, he's calling her a hypocrite because I guess the reports came out that she has some ribs. But last time I checked, Michelle Obama actually exercises. And though she advocates for healthy eating, she didn't say be vegan. She just said eat more healthy. One of those common sense things. Now, as far as the whole never being put on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, I don't think that we even, as far as women on the cover of that, I had forgot that they were still making that, because I personally have no interest in seeing women who are thrown up just so they can get on the cover. I mean, you know, they never put women who know, who have eaten a sandwich or two in their day. I know it's sacrilege that you got to have these models that you can see their damn ribs or whatnot, and that's supposed to be sexy. But some of us like women that got a little meat on their bone. I mean, is that a bad thing? I mean, what's on the cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue and what's inside? I mean, there are some people there who have some serious psychological issues. And we're talking about people who eat and throw up their food. That is not beautiful to me. And these women who are so thin that they can't even go down south for fear of a wind gust, or they can't go to Chicago because, of course, it's a windy city. A wind gust would just blow their ass away. They're so damn skinny. That's not a compelling argument. But once again, we are talking about Fat Bastard. And the fact that a guy who would talk about, I mean, the pot calling the kettle black, whatever you want to call it, this is a man who is big, fat, nasty. He may have lost some weight, but he's still a fat, nasty drug head. And you're talking about somebody because they actually want you to take care of yourself and eat healthy. Matter of fact, jumping on that bandwagon, there's the whole controversy about the mother's milk, where there was a Michelle Obama, once again, was criticized for encouraging breastfeeding. I guess they tied these two things together because the IRS came out and said that the purchase of breastfeeding equipment would be considered a medical expense that you could be, that could be written off on your tax, you know, for your taxes. It's a good thing, right? You know, these things cost money. And for those people who actually breastfeed their kids and they may have a problem, or they have to work. It's not necessarily a problem, but they have to work, and so they pump out the breast milk so that their child will have breast milk. It's a good thing for them. Of course, she was attacked by a couple of talk show hosts. And, oh, we have a call. Call you on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. How you doing?
Yeah, this is your Uncle Lloyd. What's up, man?
How you doing, Uncle?
All right. So you on there, you on live now?
Yeah, you're talking to the nation now, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, man. I was just calling you because I was trying to hook it up.
All right. Well, I will call you later. All right.
Okay.
Is there anything you wanted to talk about?
No, I'm going to call you when I think about it. I was just calling because I was up on my computer.
Okay. All right. All right.
Hey, man. I love you.
We'll continue this conversation off air. Thank you for the call, though. All right. 504 in the house. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Sarah Palin, talk show host Laura Ingraham, Michelle Bachmann, they're all saying that it's a nanny state political agenda. Do I have another call?
He be on the chat line.
Hold on, who doing that? I'm just messing with him.
Carly, you on the air?
That be talking about.
Hey, yo, what up, my nigga? I'm on the air, and I got the chat line. I got the chat line on the air with me. Yeah. Got this bitch talking in the background. Excuse me, my nigga, but we on this Block Talk radio shit. Niggas don't know about it. But yo, man, tell me what's the topic on the radio show today, my nigga.
Well, right now, we was talking about the people who are attacking Michelle Obama because she was, because she advocated breastfeeding. They saying that the government is trying to control.
Hey, yo, shorty, shut the fuck up. The nigga talking right now, bitch. Shut the fuck up. Niggas listening to you on the radio. You on a radio show. Hey. Chill.
All right. Well,
my bad, my nigga.
No problem. I'm going to let y'all resolve y'all in y'all situation. And thank you for listening. And
hey, yo, my man, keep me on the radio show, man. Keep me on the radio show. I want to talk about politics. So what were they saying about Michelle Obama?
Well, what they were basically saying was that because the IRS said that women who use breast pumps can write that off.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And they're saying that it's because Michelle Obama says that it would be good that more women breastfeed their kids because it helps against obesity or whatnot. They start attacking her, along with Rush Limbaugh, who attacked her also because she ate some ribs, like he had never ate ribs before. Anyway, thank you for calling in. All right. So my point in all that is you making suggestions. People are attacking Michelle Obama because she's making suggestions that are common sense. I mean, the Pediatric Society has been, they had petitioned the IRS back in 2009 to put the equipment as a tax write-off to help facilitate people, encouraging women to breastfeed their children because it's better for them than cow's milk because obviously cow's milk is engineered for cows, not humans. Human breast milk from the mother is better than any cow's milk. But, of course, folks don't quite understand that. Why, I don't know. But I'm not going to try to make sense of it. I know a lot of people were more interested in what happened this weekend with the All-Star weekend basketball. Carmelo Anthony finally got traded. I got tired of hearing about that, and I thought it was interesting that with the trade and all the other festivities put out there on the front page, nobody talking about Tim Donaghy and the new book that came out. Now, if you don't know who Tim Donaghy is, he was the referee that was fixing games. He was the one, he was fired from the NBA, came out that he had, the FBI took him down because he had been fixing games. And he said, of course, I wasn't fixing games. I was just betting against other refs. And, of course, then they came out with a few facts showing that, yes, he did fix games. Matter of fact, there's an independent book that was, well, some facts that were just put out that show specifically that there was a high rate, like 80% of the games that he worked, they were gambled on. Those were the games that was gambled on, and they won all the money. Now, obviously, David Stern does not want that out there. I mean, because fixed game makes basketball like wrestling is predetermined. It's not a good thing that to have out there to the public that your games are fixed. So, you know, of course, when it was brought up, he was like, well, look at the source. It's no big deal. No cause for concern at all. They're all gangsters, ill-reputed mafia cats, whatnot, criminals trying to make a name for themselves. But the question is, while we're sitting up here talking about the NBA All-Star Game and how the NBA is doing well, whatnot, we have this hanging over it. It's a big cloud to me. I mean, as a loyal basketball fan, somebody who's loved ball all his life, still play ball, you want to talk about the integrity of the game. I mean, obviously the integrity of the game suggests that Team A plays Team B and it's not predetermined. You just don't know, and whoever wins, wins. It's not something where, well, we want this team to win because they're in the big market, which is something that has been alleged in the past. Just something that's out there. You know, speaking of betting, you know, the Brits are already betting on the royal divorce. I guess these so-called royals over in Britain getting married, you know, of course, if you know anything about that, they're having Prince William and Kate Middleton having their royal wedding, so-called royal wedding, and they're going to have their sweet nuptials and whatnot. I guess the bookmakers in England opened up the odds on the wedding. People are putting down when they're going to divorce, whether or not the ceremony will start on time. I mean, it's crazy. The average bet, if you're interested, is around 3.5 pounds, which is about $5.50 here. So if betting is your thing, have at it. It's all you. And speaking of all you, in this segment off, I'm sure everybody knows about what happened over in Egypt and what's going on in the rest of the Middle East and what they call Africa, well, Libya. Muammar Gaddafi, like, they're having yet another revolt there, and I guess the people of Libya are tired of Muammar Gaddafi. They saw what happened in Egypt, and now they want to have their own revolt, and Gaddafi's like, nope, not leaving. I will go out as a martyr. I am not going down that easy. So what's happening now, of course, what's his name? Gaddafi has said that it's basically people who are serving the devil, and they deserve to be executed, and that's it. Nothing else to be said. And he said he's not leaving. He says that he doesn't really have a head. He has no official position, so he will remain the head of the revolution, which I think is funny. He's going to go out as a martyr, according to him. But, you know, for me, it's just the new world order, which is basically out with the old dictators and in with the new. And on that note, I think I'm going to play a song here. I'm going on a commercial break. You know, I'm going to play a song that I think the people over there and some of the people over here have had on their mind. This is Intelligent Hoodlum, Arrest the President.
Arrest the President. Arrest the President. Arrest the President. my boots, step to my roots. Black is dominant, that's enough proof. Separation of integration, strong foundation, Nubian nation. Microphone is blessed with the bonus. Pray, give thanks, and help the homeless. Use the mind, the creative gave ya. Won't enslave ya, but he'll save ya. There's no debate, time to penetrate. I can't wait for the pain to deflate. I'm living in a land of hate. Take my hand, black man, and let's stand. And find this promised land. Arrest the president.
That was Intelligent Hoodlum, Arrest the President. I'm sure that's how a lot of people are feeling over in them countries that are revolting right now. Just arrest the motherfucking president. Get his ass up out of there. It's not quite that easy, though. Hello, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hello, Mr. Dick. How are you today?
I'm good.
Listen, man, I heard you talking about Libya and Egypt, but what I want to say is that is some of the same stuff that's happening right here in the United States that you just don't see it.
No, I was just about to talk about that here in a minute. But what's
man.
On your mind?
It's on again anyway. But
I
what
know.
I'm saying But what I'm saying is, it's happening right now, every day. I mean, you have so many people that's unemployed here in the United States, and there is jobs, but they're just not giving them to them. And there's money that they're sending so much money overseas to all these different other countries, trying to keep them friends so we can keep getting oil and everything else when you have people right here in the United States starving. You understand what I'm saying?
Most definitely. I don't think they have any concern for the everyday citizen. No way, no how.
Yeah, well, that's what the problem is. I mean, if something like that was just bust out here in the United States, it wouldn't be able to happen.
Well, I think that's the reason why we got the Patriot Act and all these other things set in place so that they'll never let that happen here in the first place. They'll lock everybody up in the stadium. There's no, no mystery that they have a football, basketball, baseball stadium in every major city in the United States. It was something that they started doing during the Martin Luther King era, where they started busing people to places where they have stadiums and they can hold them. He even did a movie about it. Denzel Washington was in it about a decade ago called The Siege. It's not that inconceivable that would happen. But, yeah, that's definitely serious. And I thank you for leading me into it because I was just about to talk about that because, you know, what's going on over in Wisconsin right now. And thank you for your call, by the way. And I will definitely call you back probably tomorrow because I know it's late. Where you call
No, I was just up listening to the show, man. I've been listening at the show for a couple of nights. I said one night I'm going to call. So I had a little time tonight, and I decided I'd call, and I like the conversation you were getting into. So I said I might well put in that because I'm listening at the news just tonight, and I can see where, you know, the homeless people right here in the city, you know, they have nowhere to stay. And now it just happened tonight, the police went and just took all of the homeless people and just took all of their sleepwear. They don't have nowhere to stay anyway, and they're sleeping underneath the bridge, and they just arrest all of them and took them from underneath the bridge, which, you know, as much money as they have, I don't understand why they just can't, you know, do something to put these people somewhere in hotels anyway.
Well, I mean, I think you know the answer to that. There's no money in it. I mean, it's one of those things. It's not a New Orleans thing, because they passed those laws all over the United States, actually. I was just talking about it last week, where San Diego had passed a law where what they do, they give the police the power to arrest the homeless by saying what they do is they're going to hold a few beds, because in order to arrest the homeless, you have to say that there's a bed available. And because there were no beds available, the homeless had an excuse to be homeless, which makes no sense, but I just said it anyway. So what they've been doing is they've been holding beds so that they can have an excuse for the police to arrest the homeless and move them, because I guess instead of just walking past the homeless problem, they want to now just, we're going to get rid of you and lock you up in jail or whatnot. And it's something that they're doing all over the United States. It's definitely not isolated. I read about it. I'm like, that makes no sense. You're going to arrest folks because they have nothing.
That's what I'm saying. They can't get out. They can't pay for themselves to get out of jail. I mean, and if you arrest them, you still have to feed them. So it's just easy. The find a place, you know. I mean, you building jails. Why are you building jails so the lawyers and the judges and all the politicians continue to make money? Why don't you build buildings where the homeless can have somewhere to stay? You know.
Well, once again, jails make money. Remember, jails build furniture, make license plates, they build car parts. I mean, jails are like the factories that used to be the real jobs, but now you use the jails as factories, and you pay these dudes like, what, 50 cents a day or something crazy like that, and you make billions of dollars off the jail labor. I mean, they're talking about the 40 states that have the budget shortfalls, which are like, they estimating it like $140 billion. In the meantime, they're just building prison after prison after prison, but they're closing schools. Like right here in California, the Oakland area, well, not Oakland, Detroit. In Detroit area, they closed 70 schools.
Yeah, I think Detroit is really hurting worse than almost any state, you know, in the nation. I think Detroit, I thought New Orleans was bad, but, man, you know.
Yeah. Well, everybody had to leave Detroit because the car industry left and had no jobs, so it got really bad there. And the point of it, and the matter is, they're talking about attacking unions now because they're pushing through this anti-union legislation, so that not only do you not, if you become homeless, we can arrest you. if you're poor, you know, we're not going to educate your kids properly because we're going to close the schools and you're going to have to drive your kids across the city just to get them to go to school. We're not going to pay the teachers nothing because we're going to take away their union rights so that we can pay them less. Like, teachers make a whole lot of money. I mean, that's one of the funniest things. I hear people talking about, oh, the bad teachers, whatnot. And I'm like, well, as somebody who's volunteered in the school system, I mean, teachers, they don't get paid enough.
I think teachers in general is volunteers. You know, I mean, for the amount of money that they make, they might as well just volunteer, you know?
Yeah. I mean, because how much would they be getting if they was running a daycare and they was babysitting those kids? They'd be getting, what, $150 a week or something like that? But instead, and that's for one kid, but instead they get 30 kids. 5 days a week.
You know, it's just ridiculous how you just make money off of people. You know, I mean, we're getting ready to go into Mardi Gras. You know, they got one-track mind. That was one of the main reasons they removed all them homeless people from where they were because, you know, we is a tourist city. So here come the Mardi Gras. So the first thing they're going to do is remove all the bad sites. And, you know, hey, y'all go on the outskirts somewhere and sleep. But we can't have all these people coming to New Orleans looking at this here, you know.
Right.
It's just ridiculous, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something that happens and it's going to continue to happen until folks decide that they done had enough and they're going to try to, you know, try to come together, which is what they've been trying to do. But obviously, the power structure is not going to go for folks trying to take control and take the money out of their pockets. I mean, because this is basically a battle for the money.
That's all it is.
The rich and the wealthy getting more and more. And the poor not having anything. Right.
You have money.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, you have say-so. You don't have no money, you don't have no say-so. And, you know, that just is how the world turns.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're seeing it more and more and more because now every state is on the front line where they're talking about they're going to block all the labor bills and they're trying to break the union in every state. And they'll try and say, oh, it's a Republican thing, but then there's Democrats who vote for it too or don't vote against it. So, because I've always said I don't see the difference between Democrats and Republicans, except for one of them calls themselves Democrats.
It's
barely a
difference. Money.
No, they're all rich. They're all rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why they spend all that money to get into Congress and the House of Representatives in the first place.
Yeah, because they get money.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. There's no difference because
what do they do? You know, they stand there and tell you, when I get in there, I'm going to represent you. And when they get in there, they are representing them.
You know? Right.
So,
always.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, people are getting to the point now where it's just senseless to even vote for either party. Because neither one of them ain't doing nothing.
Right.
To help, you know, to help the little man. You know, if you don't know nobody, you don't have no money, you stuck. You know?
Yeah.
You should actually stuck out here.
Yeah, we're getting to that point where we may have one of these martial law deals come because it's only a matter of time before people.
I don't think we far from that. I really and truly don't think we far from that.
I don't think we're that far from it either.
You know, because it's getting to the point now where they're trying to tell us what to do right now. You know.
Well, they're not trying. They're not trying. They are telling us what to do. I mean, you look at there was a woman whose son didn't go to school, and they put her in jail for a few hours because her son had 9 unexcused absences from school.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that she ignored notices to appear in court. Now, for me, I mean, you know, as a parent, sometimes your kids may do something and may be able to hide it where you don't know that they're doing these things.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're going to go to jail for that?
Yeah, and that's the law here also. You know, your child don't come to school, and they claim that you're taking your child in school, but your child not in school, and by the time you found out, the police don't drove up in front of your door and arrest you, you know?
Right. So, but my thing is this. I mean, why is it mandatory for your, if you don't want, like, the woman who got arrested because she put her kids into a better school, she used that false address. Now, why is it bad for me to do that? And if I don't agree with the school that my kids have to go to, I just say, nah, I'm going to keep them home and homeschool. You can't do that because you'll go to jail. I mean, they don't really give you a choice.
It's well, they let you have homeschool now, but, I mean,
they don't
recognize it per se.
Right, but that's my whole point. I feel like if my child is going to go to a school where they don't care and the quality of the education is not good, I feel like I can do better at home. I should have the right to do that.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to go to jail for making that choice.
And you're right, you know. But once again, you're going to make the law and you don't have money.
Right. Well, I mean, and we're at that point where we're at the haves and have nots, all that stuff that's been said before in the past. We're like you said, we're at that point, but we're not too far from martial law. I mean, we've got the Patriot Act, we've got all these different laws in place where we can't really protest against the government like we should be able to.
Oh, that's all. You know, I mean, they don't sit up in there and they don't make laws that we don't even know they made yet. You understand?
Right.
And they don't even come out into effect until you mess around there and break one of their golden rules. And then they pull out the little black book and say, oh, that's the law that, you know, you can't do that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to keep you because I know some other people might want to talk to you. I'm going to jump out of here. But I just want to be in here for a minute. Nice.
All right.
Well,
you
coming down and see me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then.
I thank you for calling in, and I will definitely be in touch with you.
You do that, man.
All right. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. We don't fall too far from the tree. That, of course, is one of my favorite uncles, my Uncle Lloyd, coming in to drop a little wisdom. That's where I get it from my intelligent, very intelligent uncles and father and other people who I share the same DNA with, who are much smarter than me. And I'm trying to learn from. While I'm stuck up in all this love, I'm going to go into a song here. Kind of fits the mood. This is KRS-One. Love's Gonna Get You.
Right. You know, so we want to clear the air and let you all know what time of day it really is. BDP are black revolutionaries, first for humanity, then for the upliftment of Africa. And it goes a little something like this. You know, that's why, man, I be telling you all the time, man, you know, love, that word love is a very serious thing. And if you don't watch out, I tell you that. Because a lot of people out here, they say, I love my car, or I love my chain, or I'm just in love with that girl over there. So for all the people out there that fall in love with material items, we're going to bump the beat a little something like this. I'm in junior high with a B-plus grade. At the end of the day, I don't hit the arcade. I walk from school to my mom's apartment. I got to tell the suckers every day, don't start it. Where I'm at, if you're soft, you're lost. To stay on course means to roll with force. A boy named Rob is chilling in a bench in front of my building with the rest of his friends. I give him a pound, I shake his hand. He's the neighborhood drug dealer, my man. I go upstairs and hug my mother, kiss my sister, and punch my brother. brother. I sit down on my bed to watch some TV. Do my ears deceive me? Nope, that's the fourth time this week. Another fast brother shot dead in the street. The very next day while I'm off the class, my mom go to work cold busting her ass. My sister's cute but she got no gear. I got three pairs of pants with my brother I share. Severe in school, see I made a fool. With one and a half pair of pants, you ain't cool. But there's no dollars for nothing else. I got beans, rice, and bread on my shelf. Every day I see my mother struggling. Now it's time, I've got to do something. I look for work, I get dissed like a jerk. I do odd jobs and come home like a slob. So here comes Rob, his goal is shimmery. He gives me 200 for a quick delivery. I do it once, I do it twice. Now this steak with the beans and rice. My mother's nervous, but she knows the deal. My sister's gear now has sex appeal. My brother's my partner, and we're getting paper. 3 months later, we run our own caper. My family's happy, everything is new. Now tell me, what the fuck am I supposed to do? That's why. You'll fall in love with your chain. You fall in love with your car. Love is gonna sneak right up and snuff you from behind. So I want you to check the story out as we go down the line.
Let us move on.
Money's flowing, everything is fine. Got myself a Uzi and my brother a 9. Business is booming, everything is cool. I pull about a G a week, fuck school. A year goes by and I begin to grow. Not in hype, but choosing cash flow. I kick up my feet and begin to watch TV. Cause now I got other people working for me. I got a 55-inch television, you know. And every once in a while I hear just say no. Or the other commercial I love is when they say this is your brain on drugs. I pick up my remote control and just turn. Cause with that bullshit I'm not concerned. See me and my brother jump in the BM. Driving around our territory again. I stop at the light like a superstar. And automatic weapons go spray my car. I hit the accelerator scared as shit. And drove one block to find my brother was hit. He wasn't dead, but the blood was pouring. And all I could think about was Warren. Later I found that it was Rob and his crew. Now tell me, what the fuck am I supposed to do? You know, that's why. That word love is very, very serious. Very addictive.
Let us move on.
My brother's out of it, but I'm still in it. On top of that, I'm in it to win it. I can't believe that Rob would diss me. That faggot, that punk, he score for sissy. I'm driving around now with three of my guys. The war is on and I'm on the rise. We roll right up to his favorite hangout. Said hello and then a bullet rang out. Some fired back, so we took cover. And all I could think about was my brother. Rob jumped up and began to run. Busting shots, hoping to hit someone. So I just stopped and let off three shots. Two hit him and one hit a cop. I threw the gun down and began to shout. Come on, I got him, it's time to break out. But as we ran, there were the boys in blue, pointing their guns at my four-man crew. They shot down one, they shot down two. Now tell me, what the fuck am I supposed to do? That word love is real sore. But when you use it in your vocabulary like you're addicted to it, it sneaks right up and takes you right out. Out, 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 out. So, for future reference, remember, it's alright to like or want a material item. But when you fall in love with it and you start scheming and carrying on for it, just remember, it's gonna get you.
together you guys. Drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was KRS-One, Love's Gonna Get You. And, you know, we got that material love going on out there right now. And if we don't watch out, you know what the storyline is. And on that note, speaking of storylines, music executive Steve Stout came out and blasted the Grammys. He said, the Grammys have lost their way. They are out of touch. He said that he was mad that Herbie Hancock, Steely Dan, and Esperanza Spalding they shouldn't have got Grammys. He's saying that Justin Bieber and Eminem should not have been snubbed. He's saying that the Grammys are not understanding that it's about the popularity and losing their touch with contemporary pop culture and failing to acknowledge the talents of hugely successful artists. Yeah. Now, I can't remember watching the Grammys ever. I remember Chubb Rock, and the winner is Fuck the Grammys, Public Enemy, Flavor Flav in particular. Who gives a fuck about a goddamn Grammy? But that's just me. I personally don't care for award shows and award show hoes. Say that three times. Award show hoes. Anyway, I guess Steve Stout is saying that the Grammys ain't commercial no more. It ain't sell out enough. You got to get all the people who don't have a lot of talent but are popular to win. It's no diss. I mean, I recognize the talents of Eminem and Justin Bieber and how they're popular. I guess he's saying that it should be all about the popular. But I'm thinking the Grammys ain't shit anyway. At least that's what hardcore people like myself have thought forever in the day. What do we know? We're no Steve Stout, marketing executive, music executive gurus, right? Just somebody who appreciates good music. So I try to stay away from award shows because good music and award shows do not go hand in hand for some reason. And speaking of hand in hand here, we have that, you got a segment of the population who are conspiracy theorists like myself. Being the strong conspiracy theorist that I am, I saw something and It just struck me, it was something that I know there are a lot of people who are revelation, who would jump on this and go, oh my God, it's here. They're talking about researchers are developing a specialized skin printing system that could be used in the future to treat soldiers wounded on the battlefield. There's some scientists over at Wake Forest Institute for Regenerative Medicine were inspired by inkjet printers, and they took inkjet printer technology, and instead of ink, they're going to use human cells and going to be placed in the cartridge. And the device is going to be used to rebuild damaged and burned skin. It's one of many projects, and it's funded by that institute, which is a branch of the U.S. Department of Defense. And Wake Forest is receiving $50 million from the Defense Department over the next 5 years to fund the projects, including the skin-creating system. And they say that along with that, they've already developed the skin bioprinter by modifying a standard store-bought printer. And what it does is it has a three-dimensional elevator that builds on damaged tissues with fresh layers of healthy skin. Now, we think about that for a minute, and you say, okay, they're printing human skin, and it's going to have a chemical residue or a mark, i.e., mark, some folks will say the mark of the beast. Some folks will say it'll be a way for them to track you. Because basically, I mean, the technology sounds good on the surface because it says you wouldn't necessarily need Band-Aids or stitches, per se. We can just print you out some new skin and sew it on, and it'll regenerate, and you'll have the new skin. Which, once again, sounds good in theory, but when we think about the practice, we say, is there something that the government would use to track people, to mark people, as you say, that whole mark of the beast in Revelation? Just something that's out there worth thinking about when you hear it. I mean, you know, we talked about the cloning. You know, cloning has been out there for a minute. And now we're talking about making skin and taking DNA from people and recreating your skin. Now, why would they do that? Because we're not into helping the everyday person. We just got through talking about how they don't want to help regular folks. Well, how do they not want to help regular folks? Think about what happened to the little boy in Houston. 2-year-old boy, one of many cases, by the way, who died from a rare infection, which was blamed on contaminated alcohol wipes. And this is one of the, maybe only one of the first casualties that's reported out there. And the problem about this, the FDA knew of problems at the plant that made the tainted wipes a couple years back, as far back as July 2009. The Federal Food and Drug Administration inspectors had actually went to this plant by the Triad Group of Heartland, Wisconsin, way back in July 2009. And had determined that the company could not validate the processes used to ensure quality or sterility, not only of the alcohol prep pads and wipes, but also other products used for intimate care, which included hemorrhoid creams, infant and adult glycerin suppositories, sterile lubricating jelly. Some of us know it as KY. And you know, we're talking about the jellies that were used in homes as well as in clinics and hospitals for medical exams. The inspection documents from FDA Form 483S were obtained by MSNBC.com, and they were confirmed by FDAZilla.com, which is an independent website that monitors the FDA. And, of course, the FDA didn't deny their authenticity. And they said, basically, these guys, they was just putting out stuff. They didn't check their work or anything. And they said, the inspectors say that Triad's processes may not be adequate to sterilize. And they said that Triad had failed to address high microbial bioburden levels, and saying that the specific type of contamination was redacted in the document. Yeah. Basically, they knew that it was no good way back in 2009, but they let it be distributed out to the public, anyway. That doesn't sound like they care too much to me. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a guy who talks about shit on the radio and try to pretend like I'm smart when I'm doing it. That seems like common sense to me. It was reported to be bad. Do you stop it? No. It just goes out because they don't care about you and I, as my illustrious caller pointed out a few minutes ago, quite eloquently, I might add. And on that note, I want to thank y'all for listening. I want to thank my callers for calling in. I want to thank the people in the chat room for being in the chat rooms and observing the process. Next show, we have Betty McLaren, author. So, be there. Promises to be a good show. I'm going to be there. And I'll try to make it worth your while. Big Hugger is Smooth Drama. I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth.